Welcome to The Bottom Line. I'm your host, Ryan Herpin, and today we're kicking off a powerful episode into the foundation of financial wellness with my guest, Zach Short, a financial advisor with IMG Financial Group. Zach works with clients every day to build meaningful, long-term confidence in their financial lives. Zach, it is such a pleasure to have you today.
Thanks for having me, Ryan. I'm excited to be here.
So I kind of want to look at this from a few different angles. I want to really kind of address the problem here. See, most people want to be financially strong, but their money habits do not reflect those long-term goals. And it feels like we're working hard, but still falling behind. And it's almost like your money disappears faster than you can make it. And this matters because building strong financial habits aren't just about saving money. They're about creating freedom. And when your habits work for you, you're not just surviving, you're building wealth with intention. So I want to dive right in. I want to pick that beautiful mind of yours. I've had the privilege to know you for a while, and I am still learning things from you all the time. So I want to share that with the audience today. What are a few foundational financial habits that everyone should build into their routines?
Yeah, no, it's a great starting question. A couple of things, I think. First is having an idea or some sort of knowledge regarding just your overall finances. I think that sounds pretty basic, but you'd be surprised at how transformational that can be for people. And that can take a lot of different forms, whether it's just knowing where your money is located, knowing where it's going. Just having that knowledge is power. And so a lot of times when I talk to folks, I ask questions and no fault of their own, they say, I don't know. Like, I don't know what's coming in, what's going out. And so starting there kind of just gives you the knowledge. And then from there, you can get, more complex, but it just at least knowing what's going on is a really strong and powerful way to start. But then on the flip side of that, I tell people all the time, finance and managing your own finances, it's not like school where you have to get an A. I know in school you don't have to get an A, but I tell people a lot, you don't have to get an A on this test. You're not going to make every single decision perfectly, and because life happens and we have to make choices, but B's and C's and doing things right most of the time with regard to your finances, that's going to allow you to have that freedom that you want. So the consistency is the key. And so I think those are kind of a few foundational habits. And the folks that I have seen that have had the most success over a long period of time have a general idea of where their money is, where it's going, how it's being utilized, and know that, okay, as long as I do this right most of the time and make the decisions that I need to make the vast majority of the time, I'm going to have the success and the freedom that I need.
I could not agree with you more. As far as routine goes, at least being able to see what's going on with the money is the first most important thing. I'm a firm believer in you cannot manage what you do not measure. But even before managing and measuring, you've at least got to see what's happening. So as far as routine goes, that makes a lot of sense. So that does lead to my next question. Why do you think so many people really avoid looking at their financial picture until it's a problem?
Yeah, I find myself asking that to myself a lot. I think it kind of goes to the concept. I don't know if it was created here, but it's definitely where I learned it in the Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. The matrix of this is something that I think most people agree is important, but not urgent. And so there's no real deadline for a lot of these things. It's not like it's not like your taxes that have to get filed, or it's not that we need to get this done by the end of the year. There's a desire to, but oftentimes this falls further down the list in terms of priority, just because other things in life have to happen that are probably more urgent. And so I think that's why a lot of times people kind of push this to the back burner, just because life takes over and it doesn't become truly pressing until you kind of feel the pains of, years and years most times of avoiding it. So by no fault of, anybody, it just kind of naturally happens that way. And it truly takes an intentional effort to bring it to the top of the list or closer to the top of the list than where it probably naturally falls.
That's a really good point. You know, I it's funny because I didn't really think of it too much like that. Is it really can just fall behind as far as a priority goes. My initial thought to that was, which I'm glad you helped kind of give me another angle from it, because mine's a little more comical, so to say. I think of it like, you know, accountability, right? When we have to look at our bank account, when we have to see where our money's going, sometimes it makes you feel awful because you've got to really deal with the reality that you're not managing it. It's going faster than it's coming. So it's like great Jim Rohn. Jim Rohn said this really, really well. If you're not active, the weeds will take your garden. And if you're not looking at your finances, it's like there are no weeds. There are no weeds. You can't expect to get anywhere at all. And you're just bound to run into problems that you have to jump to only when they're relevant. So I think that's really important though. So it's for someone that feels behind though, what simple first step can they take today to either A, really improve that process, build those routines, or even make that more of a priority?
Yeah, no, it's tough to try to figure that out. Everybody's individual in their sense, and what works for one person might not work for the next. But what I have found works for the vast majority of people is A, just doing something. I think you could say that for a lot of different aspects of life is we can analyze it to however many degrees and try to find the perfect plan, but acting is more important in that sense. And finding something, going back to the consistency, finding something that you can consistently commit to and not biting off more than you can chew from the start. If you're overwhelmed by the sense of, you know, maybe that's, okay, I've got debt, and so I just need to commit to paying an extra however much per month or per week or, you know, whatever works for you to take that first step. Or if you're trying to get into investing, hey, let me just start with something that I know I can do. And maybe it's, you know, $100 a month, maybe it's $1,000 a month, but whatever you can commit to on a consistent basis, and then working up from there, we find the folks that maybe they're like, okay, if everything works out perfectly, I can commit $5,000 to this. And then that works for a month. And then it goes down to 4,000. And then it goes down to 1,000. And then they skip 6 months. And then it goes back up to 3,000. The ups and downs usually don't work out as well. If you can find something that you consistently commit to wherever you are in your, you know, financial journey, whether that's, yeah, once again, debt or investing or getting even more sophisticated, finding something that you can commit to and just acting on that, and then building from there, I think that's a great first step for each person. It helps build the confidence because as you build up, you're like, okay, I was able to do that and do that for an extended period of time. Now I'm a lot more confident that I could continue to build off that and continue to put myself in a better position.
That's good. That's good. I got to unpack that a little bit. If I were to kind of summarize it a little bit differently, it's almost like the consistent discipline for the small things can turn into massive change, right? It's like a snowball effect. Take a snowball at the top of a mountain, you start rolling it, it's going to turn into a very, very big one. So it's at the same time, it kind of grows that confidence and belief in your ability to maneuver, manage, grow, and be more disciplined. So, you know, I'm curious, really, really curious, because money is something everyone has to do. We kind of don't have a choice, right? If you want to live, you kind of have to have some sort of money in your life whatsoever, but what got you into this? What was the driving force that really made you interested in helping people with their finances?
Yeah, so a couple different things. First off, credit to my parents. They got me interested in it and just, you know, brought me into the conversation of, hey, this is what money is. This is what we use money for. And they had good habits that I was able to learn from. And so that was obviously a big foundation for me. But then in high school, this is kind of probably where it really kicked off. I had the privilege of taking a personal finance class, and it happened right. It was either before or after my calculus class. And so I went from one class where I was like, okay, I know absolutely I'm going to use at least something from this personal finance class, to my calculus class, which is like, I'm probably never going to use any of this ever again. And so just having that perspective, okay, this is pretty interesting, and I know this is applicable or will be applicable at least some point in my life, really kind of kicked off. And then from there, just recognizing that there's a, we're not naturally taught this stuff in school. And so I had an interest in it and had the educational and, foundation to really get a handle on it. And most people didn't have that opportunity. And so being able to share that with others and help others is kind of where it all came from.
That's pretty awesome. I mean, and it's all rooted in service to others. I mean, I think that's what truly, truly matters the most. And if doing this gives you some sense of fulfillment at the same time, then it's all you could ever really ask for. But I will say, you're so right. We're not taught these types of things in school, really. I remember taking a home ec class. I don't remember taking a personal finance class. So with that being the case, all of my financial, skills, abilities, knowledge was self-taught. It was YouTube. It was Google. It was learning from others. It was trial and error, falling on my face a few times even. But I think what you're doing is so powerful because there is a knowledge gap. There really, really is, especially into the newer generations where money's important, yes, but to properly utilize that money gets a little bit dicey. So I think there's a lot of power in what you do, and there's a lot of lives that can be very, very much positively impacted. And so I think to sum this up, this is definitely not a small conversation to have. It's not an easy topic to talk about all the time, but it's a really important one to have. So I really think when it comes to managing finance, it's not something you should gamble. It's something you should seek some professional guidance to really educate yourself and prepare yourself. So for our viewers, if you're loving this like I am, grab your remote, throw it so that no one changes the channel, because we are going to be right back on the bottom line with more Zach Short. Love what you're watching? Don't miss a moment of The Bottom Line or any of your favorite Now Media TV shows, live or on demand, anytime, anywhere. Download the free Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS and enjoy instant access to our full lineup of bilingual programming in both English and Spanish. Prefer to listen on the go? Catch the podcast version of the show right on the Now Media TV website at www.nowmedia.tv. For business, breaking news, to lifestyle, culture, and everything in between, Now Media TV is streaming 24/7, ready whenever you are. We are back on The Bottom Line with more Zach Short, and now we're diving into one of the most underestimated parts of financial success: building a support system through trusted advice. And even myself, I have a long way to go in truly being successful with financial management strategy. So even sitting here talking with someone like Mr. Zach Short, I feel like I need to be taking notes. But the problem I see here, too many people try to manage their finances alone and end up overwhelmed, confused, or making very expensive mistakes. It feels isolating, like you're supposed to know what to do, but nobody's ever really taught you, just kind of like we addressed a little bit in the previous segment. So Zach, I would love to have your help looking at this from a better light, answering some of the hard questions. And once again, it is such a pleasure to have you on the show today.
Sounds good. Let's dive into it.
All right. So what's the biggest value someone gains by working with a financial advisor they trust?
Yeah, I think probably even before that, what I try to educate people on is I'll be the first one to admit that not every single person needs to work with an advisor. Probably the vast majority of the people do. But the three things that I look at and help people understand is in order to be able to do this on your own, you need to have the time, the knowledge, and the desire to do it on your own. The time, I got enough hours in the day to be able to handle my stuff myself. The knowledge, I need to know what's going on and how to make those decisions for myself. And then third is the desire of, I actually want to do it for myself. So some people have the knowledge and the desire, they're just busy people running businesses or dealing with their family or whatever the case may be. And so they can outsource it and bring in a team to help them. Or some people just have absolutely no desire. I hear that quite a bit and say, hey, I didn't get into that field for a reason, and this is why I want to bring you in. So that's usually the first question that I ask is like, does it even make sense for us to work together or for you to hire someone in to come and help you? And once that box is checked, then we can start moving to kind of the next step. But some of the value that working with someone like me can bring, I think one of the biggest things that we see is just peace of mind. That somebody's looking over, even if you have a plan already or the outlines of a plan, somebody that can double check your work and bring to your attention maybe some of those blind spots of, hey, I didn't necessarily think about that. Thanks for bringing that up. But then it's also, I guess, kind of goes hand in hand with that, a sounding board. If we get asked all the time of, hey, I'm thinking about XYZ, what do you think? And sometimes it's, I think that sounds great. Let's run it through kind of the model and put it in the context of your entire plan and see if it makes sense. And other times like, maybe we need to look at it another way. And at the end of the day, it's your money. It's, it's your life. You can choose, but at least having somebody that can look at it from all different angles to at least give you the pros and cons of each decision that you make.
Once again, that was sheer gold. And there's a few things I really want to unpack there. First and foremost, I like that it's really focused on truly serving your client. Because at first, you want to make sure they're even qualified for the help. Do they really need the help? Do they really want the help? It's identifying what is the issue? Why does it make sense for us to work together? But then second, I love that it's presented in a way we're not here to judge you. We're not here to make things hard for you. Yeah, sometimes it might get uncomfortable, but we're here to help you, partner with you, and execute a plan together. And I think that's really powerful, especially in the world of money. I, my goodness, it kind of makes me think maybe I need to put a little bit more time into my plan, right? But what are the key traits someone should look for when choosing a financial advisor?
Oh man, how long do you have? It's a laundry list, but no, I think probably the biggest ones, this probably goes without saying, but good reminders. First and foremost, probably just somebody that you resonate with and somebody that generally has the same worldview. Not that you have to necessarily agree with everything or look at everything the exact same. I might argue that it might be better to have somebody that looks at things differently. So you got kind of competing views to see which one makes sense. But in general, somebody that you have an overall philosophy alignment with, I think is probably pretty important. The other thing that I would say is someone who's an educator and really approaches it as, I want to help you understand this. Not that every single one of my clients has to know everything that I know to the extent that I know it, but I want people to understand the strategy, the ideas, the reasoning behind recommendations and what we implement, because that provides more conviction. It's definitely not a, hey, just trust me type of thing. I don't think that goes very far, because as soon as things get rocky, then you start asking questions if you don't understand the intent and purpose behind it. So someone who wants to educate you and say, this is why I recommend these things, here's my thought process, the methodology, all those types of things, I think that's super important. And going back to what you said, it's just kind of a, money can be a taboo topic. And so I think someone who's not pushy or not trying to force decisions on you, nobody likes that anyway. So that probably goes without saying, but just something that feels right, has a good fit, and somebody that you can feel has your best interest at heart. And certainly somebody, if you can get referred to someone that, a friend, a relative, whoever, that they have fully experienced it. Cause I can tell you everything that I do, but you can't really feel it until you experience it firsthand. And so if you have somebody else that can experience that or has experienced that, that certainly goes a long way.
I find it extremely valuable that you touched on a few major key aspects of why people buy services or products and who and how. And the truth is, people don't really want to have a service or product from somebody or a brand that they don't know, like, and trust. And it just makes sense. So when finding that right person, you know, having someone that you can agree with that shares a lot of similar views, maybe some similar beliefs, philosophies, similar attitudes, you know, someone you can really relate to and connect to, I think that's super valuable, especially when we are talking about that taboo topic of money. You know, it's something where people can easily feel judged and embarrassed and concerned about, because truth is, most of us probably aren't very good at managing our money in the first place. So I do find that to be extremely important, and I'm glad you really addressed it like that, because what it turns into, like you said, is a referral to somebody else that's important. And what an honor it truly is for somebody to refer you to a family member or a friend. That doesn't happen unless they know, like, and trust you, and they experience it for themselves. Because truth is, we're being real here, just like with what I do, it's got to be really hard to sell what you do. It is taboo. People are prideful and have some ego. So when it comes to money, you know, it's an easy sell. So being referred by somebody that they know and like and trust makes it a whole lot easier to get that conversation going. So I'm curious, can you share an example when of a client in their transformation when the collaboration really made the difference?
I've been fortunate to have a lot of different examples of that, both big and small. But the one that comes to mind, probably most prominently, is a couple that was getting they were getting closer to retirement, and they had never worked with anyone before, and kind of initially approached me and said, "We have no idea where we are in this process. Like, are we in good shape? Are we in bad shape? Where are we?" And it took a lot of, courage for them to be able to step out of their comfort zone and say, just give it to us straight. And so I applauded them on that and still do. And they didn't necessarily have that knowledge piece. And that was okay, because what I found as we dug into it is they had done the hard work, in the sense of they knew where their money was going, they had saved. Maybe they didn't necessarily do it in the most efficient process. Could they have gotten there where they were a little bit easier? Probably. But they had at least done the work. And so now it was time for us to position things so that they had enough to meet their goals. But then it could give them that peace of mind of, okay, somebody's looked this over. Somebody has given us the plan that helps us achieve what we want to achieve. And we're doing it efficiently, I think, is one of the other big things. And so we just had a lot of conversations. What are your goals? What are this and that? And over time, I could just see the burden and the stress come off their shoulders of, okay, we've done enough. We're in a good position to where we don't have to worry about this as much. And it was just a really, really cool process to be able to work with them and help educate them. And once again, I think that's extremely important. So now they have an idea, and I have seen them firsthand of like, hey, this is, we talked about this 2 years ago. Does this still apply in this situation? I was like, yes, exactly. You understand. So just being able to communicate with people and, like you said, collaborate, I think is incredibly important and can be, pretty life-changing for some folks.
No, it sounds to me like peace of mind is what you help create with your clients. And I think there's more value behind peace of mind than many of us have really known. So if you like what you're watching right now, if you want to hear more from Mr. Zach Short and his financial wizard experience, join us for the next segment. We'll be right back on the bottom line. Love what you're watching? Don't miss a moment of The Bottom Line or any of your favorite Now Media TV shows, live or on demand, anytime, anywhere. Download the free Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS and enjoy instant access to our full lineup of bilingual programming in both English and Spanish. Prefer to listen on the go? Catch the podcast version of the show on the Now Media TV website at www.nowmedia.tv. From business and breaking news to lifestyle, culture, and everything in between, Now Media TV is streaming 24/7, ready whenever you are. We are back on the bottom line, and still with me is Mr. Zach Short, the financial wizard that I'm loving having this discussion with. And we are here to talk about one of the more important types of conversations, identifying your blind spots. See, people often believe that having savings or investments means they're set, but without a full financial strategy, they're exposed to a lot of risk. And it feels like you're doing all the right things, but sometimes it's still not working. And we've got to handle this because missing one critical element like tax planning, insurance, or retirement gaps can undo years of progress. So Zach, it is such an honor to have you with us today. I'm so excited to dive in for more.
Yeah, no, this has been a lot of fun. Thanks for having me once again.
All right. So I want to get to the bottom line of this. What are some of the biggest financial blind spots you see, even in disciplined clients?
Yeah, I think probably a few of the bigger ones are we can analyze and put together the most complex and detailed plan. But as we know, life is not static. Life is very dynamic, especially for, you know, if you're a business owner or have big families, or everybody's life is a little bit different. So I think one of the bigger ones that we find is having a plan that is flexible and adaptable. You know, some folks will come to us and say, like, here's the exact plan. Here's what I've got in mind. What do you think? It's like, this all works great if everything in here lines out exactly as you had planned it, which very, very rarely happens, because all it takes is one unknown thing, or, you know, unexpected expense, or this, that, or the other, one change, and things look completely different. So I think that's one of the bigger blind spots, is having a plan that is flexible to adapt. And that's really one of the biggest things that we do, is just adjusting on the fly. Similar to if I'm driving somewhere across town, usually I'll have my maps up because, oh, there's a wreck. Okay, perfect. We gotta reroute. So it's kind of the same idea. We want to be able to change on the fly and make those adjustments to keep you on track. But I think the other one is probably a little more technical, but it's pretty important. And I think specifically on the growth of assets, whether you call it investing or whatever you want to call it, a misunderstanding or a underrepresentation of risk and also like location of the assets. So it's pretty important where when we're looking at maybe what somebody already has or evaluating what we're doing for folks, we want to make sure that the risk they are taking is appropriate for them and they are being rewarded for that risk. And so a lot of times people are like, well, you know, X investment did better than Y investment. It's like, well, yeah, it did twice as much, but it took eight times as much risk. Is that really the appropriate way to look at it? It's like, yeah, maybe not. So I think that's often an overlook section. And then location of assets is also important, because we want to make sure that, kind of going back to, you know, the title of the, you know, the show today, of, you know, in all scenarios, being able to succeed financially, that's a big portion. We can't control what's going to happen in the world or the economy, whether it's going to be good or bad or kind of in the middle. So I the last thing I want to do is tell people, you can't do XYZ because, you know, things aren't going very well in the world or the economy or the stock market. We want to build a plan that is resilient in all those scenarios. And so the location of your dollars plays a vital part in that. So a couple things there, but I think those are probably some of the bigger blind spots that we see, that as soon as we bring them up, we're like, oh my gosh, yeah, I had never thought about that.
You know, it's kind of funny. You touched base on a philosophy of mine when it comes to strategic planning in business that now I'm seeing also applies very, very well in the world of financial planning, and it's plan for the plan to change.
Exactly.
Sometimes you're right. Life is not static. It's very dynamic. Things are going to change. Curveballs are going to be thrown. Speed bumps are going to be hit. That's just life. It's how things work. But that is so important to understand that, because that is a reality. Sometimes we like to just think everything's sunshine and rainbows and, you know, crazy stuff won't happen to us. That's kind of living with your head in the weeds. But I also like that you talk about where the dollars are at. That's a dynamic I didn't really think about. Is it wrapped up in assets, investment? There's a lot to it that if you don't know, you just don't know. But there's so much meat to that. Like, my goodness, I'm glad we're having this conversation. But why do people often avoid long-term planning, even when they know it's important to do?
Yeah, another just great question I think about all the time, and probably one of the key themes that I've found, in myself as well, is the idea of delayed gratification is so difficult. Of, hey, I'm going to set aside $1, $2, $10 today to hopefully be able to use it at some point in the future. It's just contrary to our, just our human element. I would rather go take that money and use it today. And I think about, I was introduced to the concept of delayed gratification in high school. Every time I think about the concept, I think about this is my freshman year, I took a biology class, and every week we would have like a vocab quiz. And as soon as we finished it, our teacher would be yell out immediate gratification. And so we would trade the papers with the person next to us and get our grade right then and there before we left the class. And then, flip the switch on that. And delayed gratification is the exact opposite of that, of, hey, I'm going to do this in hopes and planning that it will work out in the future. And that's just such a, it's a hard concept to grasp. And so I think that's probably why a lot of people avoid it. And it's just a natural instinct. So how do you navigate that? And not that, I don't want to tell people, hey, don't enjoy your life now, but how do we find a balance of, using your money today, but then also planning for the future?
That's pretty powerful. A saying that kind of comes to mind with that is growth doesn't come from comfort zones. If you're not comfortable being uncomfortable, you can't expect things to truly change for the better. So if you're not willing to do what's hard now so that life can get easier, life's gonna get harder because you're stuck doing what's easy all the time. So it that's that kind of stands out to me. I can definitely relate to that of, it makes sense why people would avoid it, but at the same time, it is much better just to bite the bullet, do what's uncomfortable, and jump to it and get it done.
Yeah.
So,
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
deeper into the reason why you do this, what part of helping people find those blind spots is exciting for you? Because sometimes that's uncomfortable. When you've got to point out something that people might miss or have that hard conversation, what drives you to do that?
You're exactly right. And one of the folks that I work with here at IMG always says, we're in the nature of having hard conversations. We're in the business of having hard conversations. And so, it is difficult sometimes. But what drives me, I think, hey, I just have a natural, inclination to try to figure things out. I enjoy numbers, and not that everything we do is numbers and stats and all that kind of stuff. It's obviously a big portion of what we do, but that certainly helps. As we talked about earlier, desire to help people and just help people figure this out, because I have that desire, I have that knowledge, and so being able to share it with other people is pretty impactful. But the thing that I didn't realize until several years into the industry is what makes this probably hard too for people to get on board with it and follow through is what I do today. Oftentimes, I don't see the results of it for a long period of time. Maybe it's a month, maybe it's a year, maybe it's 20 years, maybe it's 50 years, who knows? But that keeps me coming back, because it's like I have to think, okay, what I'm doing today, we have to plan for it working out in the future. So it keeps me coming back. It's not a one-time thing and okay, the solution's fixed, and now we can wipe our hands clean and move on. It's a continuous battle that we're fighting, a continuous plan, that roadmap of let's find the next best way, and how do we continue to improve this or keep that consistency going?
That's pretty powerful. That's pretty powerful. And I like that you said, you're in the business of having hard conversations. And that a lot of people want to avoid that, but I think putting it that way just makes it a whole lot more tolerable, but also a sense of excitement to have those conversations. Because on the other side of a hard conversation is some serious satisfaction, comfort, peace, and grace. My goodness. But Zach, I think you've helped a lot of people connect some very important dots today. Where can our viewers find you if they want to have this discussion with you and learn about going this path?
Yeah, I think the best way is you can go to our firm website, imgfinancialgroup.com, and all of our info is on there. My info is on there, email and phone number and all of that. And I'd be happy to talk to anybody. I don't ever want to turn somebody away because of, you know, you don't have enough money or things like that. I'm always happy to talk with somebody. And if I'm able to help them in any way, absolutely, I will. If it makes sense for us to work together, would certainly welcome the opportunity. But if anyone has any questions or just wants a sounding board to bounce some ideas off of, I'm always open.
It was such a pleasure having you on today. It really is an honor. And I want to echo something in a very smart and just a very good way. It's not about how much you have. It's about your willingness to do something with it. So if you like this conversation, don't go anywhere. We've got another segment on The Bottom Line. Love what you're watching? Don't miss a moment of The Bottom Line or any of your favorite Now Media shows, live or on demand, anytime, anywhere. Download the free Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS and enjoy instant access to our full lineup of bilingual programming in both English and Spanish. Prefer to listen on the go? Catch the podcast version of the show right on the Now Media TV website at www.nowmedia.tv. From business and breaking news to lifestyle, culture, and everything in between, Now Media TV is streaming 24/7, ready whenever you are. We are back on The Bottom Line, and this entire episode has highlighted something critical. Financial confidence isn't about having it all figured out. It's about being honest with where you are, asking the right questions, and building consistent habits that work for your future. You see, most people were never taught how to manage money well. They've learned through mistakes, fear, and avoidance, unfortunately. And it feels like a guessing game. Like, every financial decision is a gamble, whether you like it or not. Because financial peace doesn't come from guessing, it comes from clarity, guidance, and ownership. So I want to cover a few very, very important topics in this last segment of this powerful episode that I think would be really, really important not to overlook. See, financial planning is about intention, not income. Doesn't matter if you're making millions, thousands, doesn't matter what it is. It's about intention. Building a plan is extremely important. See, like Mr. Zach Short said very early on in this episode, just having the visibility, just seeing what's going on is so critical, so important. It's the very first thing, because a belief of mine is you cannot manage what you do not measure. So if you don't see what you've got, you can't measure it. You can't manage it. So it's about being intentional. You can go from nothing and turn it into a fortune. It happens all the time around the world, not just in America. It happens all over the place. So the truth is, having a good financial plan is important. If you fail to plan, you're planning to fail. So you don't have to be perfect. You just have to be consistent, right? And it's something that Mr. Zach brought up. And it's really, really important to really dig into this topic. And I want to bring it up again. You see, these small, consistent disciplines, again and again and again, are what turn into the big changes in life, right? So think of it like this. You have two people. One person wakes up every morning and exercises for an hour a day. The second person wakes up every morning and watches the news for an hour a day. The first person, you're not going to see a big change in them, really, for either one of them, the first day, the first 2 weeks, the first few months. It takes potentially years. But here's what you see after years in these two individuals. The person who's worked out for the first hour of their day, they're getting healthier. They're more positive, they're more focused, they're stronger, their good habit of exercising turned into other good habits. There's more optimism, more happiness, more excitement, more energy. Then you look at the other person. Spends the first hour of the day looking at the news. Now, I don't know about you, but when I look at the news, I don't really enjoy it much. There's a lot of chaos, a lot of corruption, a lot of sorrow, problems. See, the news doesn't really like to bring up what's good, what's right, what's honest. They like to bring up what scares you, freaks you out, what concerns you. You see, it brings in more views. So that person who's consuming that for an hour every day, you're not going to see a whole lot of change the first week, first couple of days, first months. Might take years, but after so long, more cynical, maybe more pessimistic, more concerned, definitely not in better shape. And the habit of consuming such poor influence on a regular basis is going to create other bad habits, other poor influences. And those influences, they really impact your thoughts, and your thoughts really impact what you do. So it's not about being perfect, it's about consistency. So apply the consistent discipline to these small good things on a regular basis. Check your account, see where the money's going. Track every dollar that comes in and goes out of your account and start planning on what you want those dollars to do. Next, a good advisor helps you stop reacting and start leading your future. You see, I think of it like this. Someone who has the right people around them, the right experience, the right knowledge, you're going to respond over react. Responding is calm, calculated, controlled. Reaction is instantaneous, emotion-filled, and volatile in a lot of situations. Your financial management can be the same way. If you plan, you have help, you get advice, you learn, educate yourself, you're growing in that field, and you're going to learn to respond over react when it comes to money, especially unfortunate life events. Life happens. Just like Mr. Short said, life is not static. It's very diverse. It's very, very ever-changing, you could say. So with that, becoming the person that can respond over react is vitally important. So having the right advisor can help you respond over react. And at the same time, with a good advisor, you're going to see those speed bumps well before you encounter them. Building wealth is a journey, not a jackpot. You see, it's like a great example. The parable of the talents, right? What you do with that money is going to really dictate a lot. You see, you can bury the money, keep it safe, never do anything with it. It'll never change. It'll never grow and never deplete. The never depleting part, I'll argue that because inflation, life change, your money's going to be less and less, but you can choose to invest it, grow it. Yes, it comes with risk. And not all risk is really worth the risk. So you've got to be calculated. But this is where a good advisor, the consistent disciplines and things like that really come in, being able to educate yourself, because you can then understand what risk is reasonable risk. Your ability to decide that, to determine that, is going to change what you do with those talents, to do with the money you're given, the money you've earned. If you invest the money in a safe way, you're going to get a safe return. You invest the money in a dangerous way, gambling, you're probably going to lose it. And then you're worse off than if you buried it. You see, no great reward was ever gained without risk. Being wise on what risk is acceptable is pretty important. So waiting until you're ready usually costs more than starting now. You see, a big philosophy of mine that I use in business, I use my clients, I use my coaching, my mentorship, all of it is progress over perfection. If you wait for the perfect time, you'll never get started. If you wait for the perfect circumstance, you'll be stuck waiting forever. You see, progress is more important. The first step doesn't have to be perfect, it just has to be taken. The consistent discipline of putting money away, investing it, utilizing it doesn't have to be perfect, it just has to be consistent. You see, progress, success rewards those who move consistently. Success is fleeting for those who wait. Now, sometimes, we don't want to jump on every opportunity that's presented to us. Don't get me wrong. I'm not advocating for take massive risks as soon as they're relevant. No. Move forward with a plan. Move forward with being disciplined. Move forward with educating yourself. Move forward with making those investments in the safe bets. There's a lot of opportunities out there to have your money work for you, not the other way around. So don't wait until you're ready, because you'll never truly be ready. Start now. Build your future now. Take control of it now. Don't leave it up to chance. You see, those who move now reach those goals faster. It's a matter of time. To build a mountain one stone at a time takes many years. So you might as well start now. Yeah, you might not be moving the biggest stones right now, but you will. Starting sooner rather than later is always the right answer. So when it comes to financial management, a few things that I do like to bring up is that a lot of us were not taught this type of thing in school. Like I said to Mr. Zach, I took a home ec class, didn't really teach me anything about financial management. None of that. Didn't teach me how to plan for taxes, didn't teach me how to do my taxes, didn't teach me how to manage my money, invest, none of that. For me, that was all self-taught. And even now, after meeting with Zach Short, I feel my knowledge is so small. My exposure is so small. So I'm going to find myself speaking to Mr. Zach Short even more. And I recommend find someone out there who specializes in this. If you know you have a dream or a goal, it's only going to help to find somebody that can make it easier, that can find the easier path, that can help you correct the poor habits, to create the healthy disciplines, and to invest smart, right? To also see that it's that progress over perfection, right? It's really easy, really, really easy to avoid this topic because it is uncomfortable. We all fear judgment. A lot of us want to present this beautiful life, this great wealth, success without actually having it. You see, I believe it's the difference between looking good and doing good. To be financially intelligent and to look financially intelligent are two very different things. You see, when you try to look financially intelligent, eventually life's going to throw something at you and you're no longer going to look very financially intelligent. You see, when you are financially intelligent, when life throws something at you, you can maneuver, you can handle it. Prepared for it, you planned for it, you've developed the disciplines and calloused nature to handle it. So don't wait to start. Start now. We all need money to operate, to live, to pursue our dreams, take care of the people we love. Don't leave that up to chance. Reach out to someone like Mr. Zach Short and learn. I know if it wasn't for the people around me, I would not be where I'm at today, especially not my financial disciplines, my financial pursuit. So something I want to leave you with today. At the end of the day, the bottom line is this: financial confidence isn't about how much you earn, but how well you plan, act, and grow. Whether you're just starting out or catching up, you can build habits and seek guidance that create a better tomorrow. I want to thank my guest, Mr. Zach, he for bringing both a bunch of insight and in his wonderful brain for all that discussion. So remember, success isn't given. It's earned, just like your financial future. So I'll see you next time on The Bottom Line.